Hello, my name is Nancy Fong from NYF Wealth, and welcome to my podcast, What If? I have my guest host, Jill Leary, and today we are going to be talking a little bit more about how I became a financial planner.
Hi, everybody. It's Ginny O'Leary again, and I really thought this would be a very good time to ask Nancy how it is that she became a financial planner in our industry, because I feel that knowing a little bit more about her and her story is also going to encourage you in your journey in deciding who your financial planner might be, who your financial advisor might be, and you might learn a few things here as well that will empower you as you move forward in having that financial coach for your finances.
Yes, Ginny, I was a lawyer before I became a financial planner, and you might ask, why did you quit law? And I did that for my family. So when my son was 2 and my daughter was 5, I met a financial advisor who actually was the one who asked me to add life insurance because I had a second child. She asked me, if 3 years from now you look back, what 3 things would have to happen for you to say those 3 years were good years or successful years? And I had to go away and think about that. It's not an easy question to answer, right, Ginny? And so I went back and I thought, I love reading, but for the last 12 years, all I was reading was leases and agreements and contracts. I hadn't really read a book for my own pleasure for many years. So I wanted to read books. And then secondly, after having my second child, my health wasn't the greatest. I needed to lose weight and I was not getting enough sleep. So I said, I want to do things to get healthy. And the third thing was the main thing. So when a little child hurts himself, falls down, what does he normally say? He says, mommy, mommy. But my son at 2, if he fell down, he would say, daddy, daddy, and then nanny, nanny, and then I was 3rd. And I thought, I don't want to be 3rd. I'm not satisfied being 3rd after those others. And so I decided that I would give financial planning a try.
Wow, that was a major life decision, because you really took a whole different profession, practicing law, reading lease agreements, into the financial planning world. But as much as I perhaps feel that that was really quite different, can you share with our audience where you felt your skills and your experience actually complement your being a financial planner?
Well, as a lawyer, we're giving advice. And unfortunately, often, there is a problem before you go see your lawyer. Not too many people are very proactive. Of course, we do have the clients who come and say, okay, I'm going to incorporate a company because I'm starting a business, or I need a will because I'm flying and I want to make sure everything, I want peace of mind, I want everything in order. But many a times it's like, oh, somebody's broken the lease. I want to sue somebody. Help me interpret this. Lots of things are after the fact. And so giving advice was the part I enjoyed the most, is to make sure trouble doesn't come, to have a good contract. So, you know, making sure all the contingencies are covered, so that no matter how you carry on your business, you won't have troubles. So being a financial advisor is very similar, right? You're trying to plan ahead so that your client will have enough money to retire, so that your clients will have a good will to keep harmony in the family. Your client will have a good education fund. Your client is taking advantage of tax rules to pay less tax. So the advice part is very similar. It's just different in the arena. But fortunately, I have a Bachelor of Commerce degree in business. So business was my first choice. And I did a lot of corporate law, a lot of business law, wrote a lot of wills, actually. So I have the experience of how you would feel when you see a lawyer. And oftentimes, my clients will ask me to accompany them when they go see the lawyer to do the will, especially women who are widowed or have lost their partner through divorce, or even business owners who maybe English is not their strongest language. And when you're talking about estate planning, it's very, you know, near and dear to your heart, very intimate. And many people like to express themselves in their first language. And so I bring that experience of how to instruct lawyers, how to deal with lawyers, and how to deal with accountants to add value to my client's experience.
Wow, that's certainly, I feel, a very valuable skill set, because I'm not sure how any of you are feeling or if you've ever been to a lawyer for any of the reasons Nancy has just talked about. But it can feel quite intimidating. Mm. And many times, you know, sometimes the initial call or meeting is discovery, and they will come and ask a number of questions so they're prepared for the meeting. And I think there is something very empowering about having a financial planner that you work with that has that background experience. And Nancy, I was thinking at this time of this episode, is there a story or two that you'd like to share about where you had that in place with a client, where perhaps you went to visit a lawyer, and what you felt the positive outcome was from the fact that you were there with your client in relation to them having gone to the lawyer on their own?
Yes, well, like last episode, we were talking about how you need to know what you own, what you owe, and have a report card or an inventory. Where I've seen both the lawyer and my client say, oh, I'm really glad you were there, is that I'm shortening the time to make that first meeting more efficient, because I've already worked with my client to list out the assets and the documents they have relating to getting a will done. And also, because I have experience as a lawyer, I know exactly what to ask for, right? Property tax statement, BC assessment, where's your notice of assessment? I'm organizing the client before they see the lawyer. And so for the lawyer, many a time, what they spend their time on is just explaining what a will is. But they bill for that time. My client is being billed when they're asking, who is your beneficiary? Mm-hmm. Now, if before that, I've already worked with the client for an hour or two doing a will planning questionnaire, it's much easier for them to answer the question. So there's not so much back and forth. And I find, Ginny, that's where the procrastination comes in. Because if you can't answer the question right away, the lawyer will say, oh, okay, you think about it for 2 weeks. And then come back. 2 weeks stretches into a month. And if that lawyer's office is very busy and doesn't chase the client, it could be 6 months before the next appointment. Another time was, I think when, as a lawyer who practiced, I can read legal documents clearly. Half the time, clients have done some tax planning, like an estate freeze or a family trust, but they kind of forgotten the details. And so when we ask them, they're like, well, I'm not really sure. And I don't really know why I did that. So I will go and say, okay, give me all your documents. I'll read it. And then I can say, is this why you did that? And to match up what you did. Now, if you went back to your accountant or your lawyer to do that, that's also good, but they charge hourly. Whereas for me, I am helping you do a plan. there could be a fixed rate, or if you are going to end up buying life insurance, a segregated fund, any insurance product or other things that I can refer, I'm getting paid commission. I'm getting paid by the insurance company, by the private investment council. So you get the advice included. And I take my time because I understand if I don't know the facts, I can't give you a good plan. You're going to be off because if your baseline is not the truth, I can't really help you look forward.
Yeah, no, I think those are very key points around the value of working with a financial planner. Because yes, we talked about the roadmap or being on that journey or on that path for your future, but also the value in if a client does work with you on an ongoing basis because of an insurance product, I know you do annual reviews.
Yes.
Bare minimum an annual review.
Yes.
Right? And in those ongoing reviews, possibly more than annually, you are always checking the pulse.
Yes.
Of where your clients are in their current age, in their current overall well-being, mm-hmm. and especially in their finances.
Mm-hmm.
But you are also going to be the proactive voice.
Yes.
To say, oh, you know, possibly your children are all out of the country. Maybe it's a good time to just revisit your will and take a look at, you know, is everything there the mm-hmm. way you want it laid out? Because now perhaps the geography is different.
Yes.
And I think for everyone listening, this is why it's so important to have a financial planner throughout your life. Because many times they are going to be your voice of reason when it comes to, is my personal financial journey at the place that it should be for this age and this time in my life,
mm-hmm.
and for where I want to be 3 years from now,
mm-hmm.
5 years from now, mm-hmm. or 10 years from now?
Yeah, so I challenge my listeners to ask yourself, what if I had an advisor who thinks proactively ahead of me? Because I don't know what I don't know. And I have a little joke, and I hope it's not too morbid, but I always ask, you know, people I chat to about estate planning, I ask them, why do you need an estate planner? And they're always like, well, because it's complicated, because I don't know what to do. And I say, well, I hope you only plan to die once. Because if you get it wrong, you can't fix it. And, you know, most people in their life, if they're going to possibly get married or have a big event, they need a party planner, right? Like if I'm going to have a 60th birthday and I wanted a big splash, I need a party planner because I don't know where to go for all the food, for all the chairs, for all the tables, for the balloons. I need an expert who's gone through all the stages and knows what to expect to help me, right? And Jenny, when I went through my wedding, I kind of cheaped out and I didn't get a full wedding planner. I had part of it, but the parts that they did went much better than my parts.
Totally agree with that. I did the same thing. No, I, you know what, everyone, I think for any of you that has used a professional for different events in your life, and, you know, I thought that was a great example, Nancy, was your own wedding and a party planner. Ask yourself as well, why don't I have a financial planner if my finances are going to affect the whole of my life and likely the lives of the people that I love most, if you have family and children that you want to pass on your wealth to? This has been, again, such an interesting episode. And I encourage all of you, if you've listened the second time, you got to keep coming back.
Thanks, Ginny. Thank you all for listening, and we'll chat with you next time. Goodbye.